you're going to use that opportunity to go and indoctrinate these kids with your street ghetto philosophy. Certain point, if you raise your level of income to the status of a rock star, then then you got to keep coming up with ways to maintain that status. I'm not even saying eat meat, but at least put some cereal in the milk. Come on. That's like taking 666, the mark of the beast, and redefining it like Biggie tried to do and saying, no, it means this or that. No, 666 is 666. You can call it holy 666, but it's still the mark of the beast. Convenient, whether it's welcome or unwelcome. You, as preachers of the word, are to show people in what way their lives are wrong.
We welcome you now to A True Church Perspective with Pastor G. Craig Lewis.
Soul winning, randomly knocking on doors and going out to the street corners to share Christ may get a few results, but true soul winning results come from the biblical way of doing it. In the Word of God, the Bible tells us that it is God that wins the soul and not our methods. We are to share Christ, but not forcefully or abruptly. When people are not called by God unto salvation, they are not able to make a true decision for Christ, but they make an emotional decision instead. This decision, based on feelings, will not stand the test of time. It's almost like a victim's vow. Folks come when they're in trouble, they messed up. I want to go to church and I want God to rescue me. And so the music plays, the preacher whines and hollers and tugs and different things while he's preaching. This person gets manipulated emotionally. They come up. They want to, I want Jesus, because they really want Jesus to get them out of the trouble that they're in. Once they're out of the trouble, they're right back to where they were because all they did was make a victim's vow. It's like locking somebody up in jail. When in jail, they fear with the Holy Ghost in jail because they don't want no man getting they behind. So they just speaking in all kinds of languages and floating in the on the ceiling, everything spiritually. But then when they get released, it doesn't last long because they were victims' vows. And we don't want people to get saved because they're victims, because they're manipulated by music. To this day, I don't even allow music during altar call. I just don't do it because I feel like that emotional thing starts to happen and people will come and they're not making a sound judgment call, but they're making an emotional feeling call. And they're drawn by their emotions, and that does not last long. I told y'all about that. My dad used to show that film, The Burning Hell, and it used to scare hell out of us. It did, but it didn't last long. Like 2 or 3 weeks, you couldn't sleep. I mean, you were just knew that the devil was trying to he's going to come get you if you did anything wrong. But then after a while, you forgot it. I don't like when people are scared. I don't like when people are put on the spot to join, you know, brother so-and-so, God says you need to get it right and get saved. You know, you get saved before it's too late, you know. And I told a brother this one time, he walked outside, got hit by a bus. So, and he's like, I rode the bus up here. So, you know, he's going to get saved. And he comes to the altar. You know, he wasn't called by God. You called him. And you can't do that. You know, we have to let God do the drawing here. Amen? Yes, it's important that we maintain the correct posture when we are sharing Christ with others. We must be strategic and wait for the Spirit of God to open a door into the heart and minds of those we desire to win. If we do not exercise patience, we may blow a future chance we could have had to really win someone to Christ. Patience is the key. That means waiting until the opportunity is right. This is why it's so important that we're not unequally yoked with unbelievers. When you're dating somebody or you're looking for somebody to hook up with or to date or go out with or something, you need to make sure it's a believer. Why? Because you blow your witness when you hook up with an unbeliever. And I know people hook up with them thinking that they're going to get them saved, and they don't understand. It's just the opposite. Just because you defied a biblical mandate from God, you just put yourself in a position to ruin your opportunity to ever win this person. Then you kissing all on them and touching all on them and then sleep with them. Then they're going to try to win them to Christ. You blew it. You blew your chance. You weren't patient. If you can wait, just wait. God will bring you someone saved. Maybe God don't want to bring you anybody. Maybe you need to just get yourself together first. You never know, but you got to be patient. Amen. Here are the do's when it comes to winning souls to Christ. First, you have to live it. Look at somebody and say, live it.
Live.
Yeah, you got to live it. Your lifestyle is your most effective witnessing tool. You cannot reach people if you are not living what you are preaching in front of them. We all have faults, but just make sure your faults don't speak louder than your message. Now, when I say we all have faults, I'm not talking about we all carrying sins. When I say we all have faults, I'm talking about we all have faults. A lot of times our personality is too strong when we're trying to witness, or, you know, the way we feel, our mindset that we have is ghetto sometimes. You know, it's hard for us to relay to people what we need to relay. And so those are things that I believe the Holy Spirit works around. God is going to bring you ghetto folks that can understand ebonics, and you just win them to Christ. You know what I'm saying? So these are things that I believe the Holy Spirit and grace gives us the ability to work through when it comes to these things. But you got to be living what you're preaching to them. You can't out cuss them and then expect them to change. You know what I'm saying? I mean, really, you can't come to them cursing and your witness is shot. OK, there's a certain way you need to carry yourself if you expect to win the people around you. That's why I said patience is important, because you don't know how long that time period is going to be. So you have to make sure you're doing what you need to do, no matter how long it takes. You see what I'm saying? Because when you blow it, it's blown. People don't want fake anymore. They just don't. I mean, that's a waste of time. Matthew 5:16 tells us, let your light so shine before men that they may see your what? They may see your good works. And I know folks like to say, it's not about works. It's not about. No, it is about works. It's not about works as far as being saved, but it's about works if you're going to get somebody else saved. It's about what you're doing, the lifestyle you are living in front of them. That's what it is about. So as far as dues, we have to know it. I talk about this all the time. I say this every week, I think. The worst witness is the uninformed witness. You cannot lead anyone anywhere if you don't know how to get there yourself. You have to know what you are talking about. Even if you don't know the Bible cover to cover, you have to know what you believe. Colossians said, let your speech be always with grace and what? Seasoned. Seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. Seasoned means that you spent time and you know what you're talking about. Okay, some folks are baby Christians. They've been saved 10 years and they still on the bottom, on the spiritual breast milk. And it's time to graduate to some hard food. Like I said on the beginning of the broadcast, at least put some cereal in the milk. You can't stay on milk all the time. Number three, pray for it. Most people ask questions or have situations happen to cause them to seek out Christ. No one comes to Christ unless the Spirit draws them. So you must know when the Spirit is drawing. Y'all, this is very key. When the Spirit is drawing the person so you can be effective. Most of the time, people will come to you when the time is right for them. John tells us, no one is able to come to me unless the Father who sent me attracts, this is the Amplified, attracts and draws him and gives him the desire to come. Did y'all hear that? That's the Amplified version. Y'all, that is heavy duty. No man cometh unless the Father who sent me attracts and draws him and gives him the desire to come to me. And then I will raise him up from the dead at the last day. So you're not even going to come to Christ unless you are selected by him, drawn, pulled into the kingdom of God. This is why the things we want to do, the things we think are innovative, all of our ideas, you know, the one I get all the time, of course, is music. I'm using my music as a tool to reach the lost. And you can't do that. It has to be God doing the draw. And you can't draw them to yourself because you're a celebrity or because you're well known or because you're famous. You can't do that. It has to be the Spirit of God. That's why you have to be sensitive to God to know when the Spirit is drawing, or you will waste your time. Anybody ever just wasted time on somebody? You really wanted them saved. You really wanted them saved, but you wasted your time because the Spirit of God was not drawing them. So we must be ready at all times to lead them to the very thing that changed us. So, okay, these are the don'ts. These are the things that we have to make sure we're not doing if we want to be true, effective leaders to draw people into the kingdom of God. And y'all, I know this stuff is very simple, ABC, but you'd be surprised who doesn't know this stuff. People get frustrated when they can't win, especially family members and different ones. It's discouraging sometimes, but you have to know you're not winning. You're not doing the winning.
That's right. That's good.
You're not doing the drawing. You're not responsible for that person's soul.
Yeah.
You're responsible for following the Holy Spirit and giving them the message. But that's between them and God.
That's right.
So don't take it personally. Amen. Don't take it personally. I spent years just wishing everybody that heard what I had to say would accept it. And would, you know, I started making myself sick, especially when I was in youth ministry. I just started getting sick because I was taking all these kids' problems and issues and different things home with me. And I was all, and you know, my wife came to me one day and she said, look, she said, you only responsible at the time I only had two kids. She said, you got two kids you're responsible for. That's Vicky and Landon. All the rest of these folks, those not your kids. And the kids always have to suffer the consequence of the parents.
Yeah.
That is not your responsibility. I mean, I wanted them all saved. I was like, why can't they get it? I mean, this makes so much sense. Well, that's because I've been drawn by God into this thing. I was selected by him into this thing. You see what I'm saying? They're different. They might not get it. You don't have to have everything together, but it's good to have something together when you are exemplifying Christ. I know this is not about money and, you know, those kinds of things, but you need to at least look and be in position to know that this stuff really works. If you worse off than them, they don't want what you selling. It's like a bum selling cologne. You know, you know how they come up to you at the gas station with cologne. If the whole stinky bum smelling like urine come up to you with some cologne, hey man, I got this cologne, man. It's Ralph Lauren. You know, you'd be like, are you allergic to it or what? I mean, you ain't gonna buy cologne from a bum because he stinks. Why would you buy something smell good from someone that stinks? It didn't make any sense, right? Well, it's the same way with what you're trying to pass Christ off on somebody and you using his name in vain while you cuss it. So you got to have something together when you're exemplifying Christ. All heaven and no earth is a dangerous combination. What do I mean by that? I mean, you are a spiritual wonder worker, but in the natural, you're dumb. And that messes with your witness. Dumb. You can't be operating in the spirit of God and the spirit of dumb at the same time. Okay? Because it's just going to all look dumb.
Yeah.
The spirit of dumb overrides all other spirits.
That's right.
And you're just going to look dumb. Okay? So it's best that we get to the place where we're making better decisions, where we are, you know, operating with integrity in our business dealings and the way we talk to people. We're talking to them, you know, not with eloquence of speech. I'm not saying that, but we're talking like we have some sense and, you know, we really want to be better. You know what I'm saying? And I know people look at that and say, well, you know, it ain't about that. It ain't okay. Well, it may not be about that with you. You're not going to make it in this life if you don't get some sense.
Right.
If you can't articulate it, you can't read a book. How are you going to read the Bible and you can't read books? I'm waiting on the movie Bible. Yeah, you know, I watch it on. Watch all your videos, man. They're just a blessing. Really? Have you been on the website? No, I can't read. But bro, I mean, can we get you some classes or something to try to help you read? Because, you know, the videos are good. Now, don't get me wrong, but you need to know how to read so you can be better off in this life. Y'all understand what I'm saying? And then if you can read, you go up to somebody that can't read, you can share Christ with them and teach them how to read. This is what I want us to be about, really. I want us to be as spiritual as the next person. Cast out any demon that raises ugly head. Lay hands on you. If you came with a headache, you leave feeling good. I want all that stuff. But then I want when you leave, oh, you know how to go pay your bills on time. You know how to go and not buy the car you can't afford. You know how to go and, you know what I'm saying? Quit eating out all week. Learn how to cook to save some money. You know what I'm saying? Just those simple things. That's what I'm talking about. That's, to me, that's church. That means you're the same way in service as you are when you go home. You're not looking for church to be that escape from the real world. Man, church should not be the escape from the real world. No, let's plug all those holes. Let's fix all that. We got all these school teachers in here. Man, we teach you how to read, how to write, arithmetic. Everything. I use that word when you can't do it. Arithmetic. It's not math. It's math when you can do it. It's arithmetic if you. That just makes it sound harder. I know I can't do that. But y'all understand what I'm saying. Balance. That's what it's about. Let's get some balance. Okay, so let's be spiritual when we need to be, but let's function in the natural realm like we need to, so we can be men and women. And it's not about having, oh, I got a certain amount in the bank and I'm rich and this kind of thing. I'm not talking about that. God will bless you. You can be blessed and just barely making it. Okay, and you can have peace with that. Okay, all of us go through that period, right? I don't know any child of God that doesn't go through that period. Okay, that's a period that is required. Okay, you're gonna do something. Either you're gonna do it, or it's gonna happen to you. You're gonna make a dumb decision, or maybe you didn't make a dumb decision. Circumstances just changed. Whatever it is, we're gonna go through a period where we're suffering and where we're trying to, you know, make ends meet and catch up. Something happened, but see, that's when you're really made into who you're gonna be. How you handle those situations. Okay, the decisions you make when you're up against the wall, the decisions you make at that point, that's what's going to be key at that point, because it's going to define who you're going to become, and it's going to show God whether or not he can trust you. Okay, the bottom fell out of his life. Let's see what he's going to do. All you gotta do is watch Job. The bottom fell out of his life, and Job basically went against everything that looked like it made sense in the natural, and he stuck with what he knew in the spirit. And that's how we have to come through it. All heaven and no earth is a dangerous combination. Jesus chose 12, even Judas, the devil, was successful. 12 successful men to push his agenda through, and he expects no less than that from us. What is success? Success isn't being rich. Success is just having a job and taking care of business. That's what I call success. You got a family, you're taking care of your family. You know, you're taking care of your business, you're handling things. That's success, okay? So we're not looking at success by what you drive and the level you live on. No, it's just, you know, I live with integrity. I take care of the things that need to be taken care of. I trust God, you know, I give to the work of the ministry, and, you know, I'm just doing what I'm supposed to do. That's success, right? Y'all agree with me?
Yes.
Okay. We should be able to show that God can do what he promised through our own lives, and not just hearsay, not just what grandmother used to tell me. Grandmama said he'll make a way. Mm-mm. Well, has he made a way for you? No. I'm just holding on to what grandmama said. Man, your life is miserable. You can't experience what you teaching. I thank God. I mean, I've gone through some suffering and some pain and some terrible things, but I thank God for all of them. I wouldn't change anything. I needed those things. Heaven is our goal, but heaven on earth is a what?
Promise.
It's a promise. He said, beloved, in 3 John 2, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy what?
Soul
prosper. That's the church right there. We're going to come in here. We're going to get a word. We're going to learn how our soul should prosper. We leave out of here. God's going to prosper us in the natural and keep us in good health in the natural. Now, that doesn't mean we can eat pork rinds for an appetizer and then for dessert every day and expect to be in good health. That don't mean we can go buy a house that we know we can't afford, but everybody can say, wow, man, how can y'all afford this house?
We can't.
Yeah, the answer is we can't, you know. I mean, as soon as you leave, we're going to fight. And we fight every time everybody leaves because we can't afford this place. Yeah, just so we can say, look where we live. Prosper and be in good health, even as your soul prosper. Listening is key. Listening. Look at somebody and say, listening. Listening, y'all. This is very important. Listening is key. When it comes to Christ, be sensitive to the Spirit and allow people time to talk to you about themselves before you talk about yourself and what you're going through. And see, you know, that's where a lot of people are in the body of Christ now. You know, they always want everybody to know what they're going through, so they can't listen. The minute you start talking, yeah, you know, you say, you know, man, I just found out my son is sick. Well, my son died. Well, I just found out that I broke my leg the other day. I don't have no lungs. They took them out when I was 8. But look at God. I mean, they just gonna outdo you. So you just be like, dog. It's nothing to say. I mean, I just can't. Yeah, they go. I mean, it's gonna be. They'll start lying with it. I mean, they just gonna just take it to the maximum. You're like, good gracious, man. Can I tell my story? You don't want to sound like a cult member or a cult religion. They are always talking and don't want to hear anything you have to say. Have you ever noticed that about a cult? That's because they're always trying to convince you of what they believe. Every time you open your mouth, you're against them. I mean, they just have to cut you off. And that's why it's good for us not to spend too much time arguing with some of these people. They're always talking and don't want to hear anything you have to say. That's not like Christ. He loves us and he listens. Showing love always involves listening, y'all. Always. And when it comes to winning the loss, it's good to allow a person to confess their faults for the sake of healing. What does James tell us? Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be what? Swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. It's taken me years to learn how to do that, and I'm still struggling. But I'm trying my best to be slow to wrath. Don't argue to win. Listen, if someone is arguing about the word of God, then usually you won't win them over. So if you're approaching them or you're talking to them about God, they start arguing and they don't want to be saved. The Spirit of the Lord has not drawn them. You know when the Spirit has drawn somebody. Questions are different, but if they don't believe, they can't receive. So it's nothing wrong with them asking questions. But if they don't believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, if they don't believe, there's no way to do it. Right? This is what makes inclusion such a farce, okay? Because if a person does not believe that Jesus is who he says he is, the Word of God says that you can't come to him. So don't waste your time trying to force the word on people. They either receive it or leave it. But you have to move on and not take it personally. You can't save them anyway, so it's never your loss. It's not you drawing them. It's not you saving them. So if they don't want to hear it, and I know a lot of times for convenience sake, we would want the people around us to accept it. We want the people around us to gather the truth. But sometimes the people around us are the wrong people around us. Okay? You're trying to save somebody that was planted there by the devil to keep you falling. So we don't want to fight with God. You got to let some people go and just say, you know what? I'm sorry. And it's hard sometimes because sometimes they are dear people to you. People that hold a key position even in your life. It's hard sometimes, but hey, lying doesn't help. Be honest. When you are witnessing to someone, y'all, be honest. Isn't it a shame you have to say that? Don't try to make God bigger than he is by lying about stuff. And I'm saying this because I know people that do it. He doesn't need your help. God does not need you to make him look powerful. Folks lie. And when I'm saying lying, I'm not talking about him just saying, you know, man, God, just the other day, man, a car just fell out the sky. And God, I was praying and he blessed me. I'm not talking about that kind of lying. I'm talking about, you know, folks coming to the altar with a demon in them. And, you know, folks, they gather around them and cover their mouth. So can anybody hear what they're saying and say that the demon is out? That's lying if the demon's not out. But they do that to impress the crowd to look like they've done what the Bible says we are supposed to be able to do. It boosts the offering. You didn't know that? Anytime you fulfill anything according to what God has mandated us to do as ministers, people get excited about it. You generate funds. That's why they put people in wheelchairs and wheel them in. Yeah, put the people in the wheelchairs and fake it. You know, they're going to help God. They're going to help God by lying, but you don't understand. They're going to pay all the bills that month in church because people are excited when they see somebody get out of a wheelchair. Folks are doing that. But yeah, the lady who had the baby in the coma, that whole thing was a farce. And the baby supposedly woke up out of the coma and it was a lie. And they blocked all of the comments on the YouTube page. This is the River Church or something like that. They blocked all the comments off of there and they tried to pretend like this baby, you know, woke up from a coma. Then the lady later came out and said, the baby's been awake. She was just asleep during service. And then they took it down. Now it's not even on the internet anymore. Yeah, and just fake the whole thing. You know how much money? You should have saw the hits on that website. It was people were hitting that. Look at God, and people just getting charismania and just they're going crazy over this. But can you imagine the offerings that week? Could you imagine the people that donated money to the girl and her daughter? That's YouTube. So you don't have to lie to help God. Tell the truth and shame the devil. The truth makes us free, and your true testimony is a powerful witnessing tool. Let them know the real deal about the kingdom of God. Let them know people are always capable of straying away if they allow themselves to. But the kingdom of God is perfect, and we all are striving for that perfection. I love this scripture. It's my favorite passage in the whole Bible, 2 Corinthians 4:2. But we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of what? The truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. That's what EX Ministries is founded upon. It's one of the most powerful passages, I believe, in the Bible. I love that passage because it is just, we're going to stand on truth no matter what. Number five, don't forget the perks. You can't sell Christianity, but you can show the benefits. No one wants what you don't want. So learn. Look at somebody and say, learn. Learn and enjoy the benefits. Learn the benefits. Enjoy the benefits of Christianity so you will have reason to share it with others. Psalm says, blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. Loadeth. Do y'all understand the benefits of conquering the spiritual things that are against you and living a life above those things? Do you understand the benefit? Changing a whole generation of people, changing a whole generation or lineage of children. You're changing what grandmother messed up, grandfather couldn't do, what they couldn't do, how they messed it up. You're able to change that whole thing because of the benefits that come when you're in Christ. That's very important to understand. Our summary, the best place to witness is where you are. People around you at work, at school, family, and neighbors should be your first conquest. Door-to-door and street preaching are no longer safe, so it's better to start with those you know. It's not safe anymore. We can spread the gospel effectively through the internet, social networks, and email. We can talk to those who we come in contact with from time to time. But the best way is to be prepared at all times so that God can place people in your path so you can share his truth with them. Proverbs 11:30 says, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. It's not the wise man winneth the soul. Okay. People quote it like that. Do not quote it like that because you mess it up, because it means that you have to have a certain wisdom to do it. No, that's not what he's saying. You don't have to have a certain wisdom to win souls. No way. It's not you that's winning the soul. What he's saying is if you win souls, you are what? Wise. A big difference. You're wise when you're able to win souls. But it doesn't take your wisdom to win the soul.
You've been listening to A True Church Perspective with Pastor G. Craig Lewis. Visit us at truth-church.org or at exministries.com. If you desire to support this ministry with your donations, please send them to P.O. Box 24870, Fort Worth, Texas 76124, or donate online at truth-church.org.